Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean waves. Then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. Purport: As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.37, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabhirya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalabhihi Goloka Eva Nivasati Akhilatma Bhutaha Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. This verse indicates that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna's father, his mother, his friends, the cowherd boys, and the cows are all expansions of Krishna, as will be explained in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. When Brahma took away Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded himself again in the forms of the many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnumurtis. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna, and therefore the verse says, Devakyam Devarupinyam Vishnu Sarvaguhashaya. At the time for the Lord's appearance, the great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore there was a sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as a Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon in the sky on the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation. Instead of Deva Rupinyam, some texts of the Srimad Bhagavatam clearly say Vishnu Rupinyam. In either case, the meaning is that Devaki has the same spiritual form as the Lord. The Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha, and Devaki is also Satchidananda Vigraha. Therefore, no one can find any fault in the way the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satchidananda Vigraha, appeared from the womb of Devaki. Those who are not in full knowledge that the appearance and disappearance of the Lord are transcendental, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, are sometimes surprised that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can take birth like an ordinary child. Actually, however, the Lord's birth is never ordinary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already situated within the core of everyone's heart as Antaryami, the Super Soul. Thus, because he was present in full potency in Devaki's heart, he was also able to appear outside her body. One of the 12 great personalities is Bhishma Dev, Swayambhur, Narada Shambhu, Kumar, Kapilo Manu, Prahlado Janako Bhishma. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1942, Bhishma, a great authority to be followed by devotees, says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the core of everyone's heart, just as the sun may be on everyone's head. Yet, although the sun may be on the heads of millions and millions of people, this does not mean that the sun is variously situated. Similarly, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies, he can be within everyone's heart and yet not be situated variously. Ekatvam Anupashyatah, Ishopanishad 7. The Lord is one, but he can appear in everyone's heart by his inconceivable potency. Thus, although the Lord was within the heart of Devaki, he appeared as her child. According to the Vishnu Puran, therefore, as quoted in the Vaishnava Toshini, the Lord appeared like the sun, Anugrahasaya. The Brahma Samhita 5.35 confirms that the Lord is situated even within the atom, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. He is situated in Mathura, in Vaikuntha, and in the core of the heart. Therefore, one should clearly understand that he did not live like an ordinary child in the womb of Devaki, nor did he appear like an ordinary human child, although he seemed to do so in order to bewilder asuras like Kamsa. The asuras wrongly think that Krishna took birth like an ordinary child and passed away from this world like an ordinary man. Such asuric conceptions are rejected by persons in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ajopisanavyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisam, Bhagavad Gita 4.6. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is Aja, unborn, and He is the supreme controller of everything. Nonetheless, He appeared as a child of Devaki. This verse describes the inconceivable potency of the Lord who appeared like the full moon. Understanding the special significance of the appearance of the Supreme Godhead, one should never regard Him as having taken birth like an ordinary child. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the senior devotees present here, before speaking on this subject matter, last 2 days we have been trying to hear from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and prepare our consciousness for tomorrow's festival, Shri Krishna Janmashtami. And in last 2 days we have heard about how the discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is facilitating the appearance of Lord Krishna in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have heard how the eagerness of Maharaj Parikshit and the mood of gratitude of Maharaj Parikshit impels and inspires Shukadeva Goswami to now start narrating the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami begins by narrating how Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, was extremely burdened by the presence of sinful kings who were ruling over planet Earth. And Mother Earth was extremely bothered because she was overburdened by the sins of these kings. In the scriptures, kings are called Naradeva, Kshatriyas, kings are called Naradeva, and Brahmanas are called Bhudeva. Both the kings, the Kshatriyas, and the Brahmanas, the saintly souls, are meant to represent Deva, God. So those who are amongst human beings representing God are called Naradeva, the kings. And the Brahmanas are called Bhudeva. Kshatriyas maintain people on behalf of God by providing necessities. And the Brahmanas maintain people on behalf of God by providing knowledge. So both Naradevas and Bhudevas, Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, combined together try to serve people, the other Varnas. Kshatriyas serve by administration on behalf of God, and Brahmanas serve by giving knowledge on behalf of God. But sometimes, like 5,000 years back, the Naradevas or the kings became extremely sinful. And Mother Earth felt overloaded and burdened because of the sinful activities of these kings. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada always spoke about how the kings are meant to rule based on the scriptures, based on the proper code of conduct and dharma given by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving an interview on BBC, and the interviewer was asking Srila Prabhupada about administration and this and that. And Srila Prabhupada said, "So you're talking about democracy, but we say that it is not democracy, it is demon crazy." And this guy was a little taken aback that Prabhupada was calling democracy as demon crazy. And democracy is meant to be, what is it supposed to be? Of the people, by the people, for the people. And what is it today? Of the people, OFF. Far from the people, not for the people. And by the people, BUY. By them is pay money. Of the people, far from the people, and by the people. That is democracy today, you know. And then the interviewer turned towards Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, this interviewer saying, "Swamiji, you said that you, democracy is demon crazy, so what is your proposal for the world to rule the world?" Srila Prabhupada said, "That is very simple. We should simply have monarchy, ideal kings, like Maharaj Yudhishthir. They should rule over the planet Earth." And then Prabhupada said, "During the rule of Maharaj Yudhishthir, it would only rain in the night. I don't know, think it was in London. London, it rains any time. You know, it definitely wasn't in London. It was probably in Hastinapur. It would only rain in the night. Throughout the day, it would be sunny, and in the night, it would rain just to give proper water and crops. Throughout the day, bright and sunny. Wish it could have been on the patron's dinner as well, as you know." I mean, quite amazing that Yudhishthir Maharaj is also. So he was asking, Srila Prabhupada started talking about Yudhishthir's rule and all that. So then the reporter said, "Swamiji, you're talking of monarchy and ideal kings. But is there any such ideal king? Is there anyone who can rule over the planet Earth today?" Srila Prabhupada paused for a moment. And then he pointed to himself and said, "Yes, there is only one person, me." And the BBC interviewer was totally confused what he was saying. And of course, Srila Prabhupada explained that ruling over didn't mean that Prabhupada would take over the administration of the country. Ruling over, of course, meant that Prabhupada would be an advisor. Saintly souls would be the advisors to the Kshatriya kings, who would then rule planet Earth, and Mother Earth would never be burdened by such rulers. Mother Earth is burdened by rulers who do not follow the codes of dharma as given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, wanted to meet the then Prime Minister of India, Srimati Indira Gandhi, and he wanted to tell her and preach to her how the administration of India should be, you know. And Srila Prabhupada, in a meeting with a devotee, said what he was going to present. And there was a manifesto made by the devotees. And Prabhupada was to present that to Srimati Indira Gandhi. And the manifesto had that in the parliament, there should be a temple of Radha Krishna. In the Indian parliament. And every morning, there should be Mangal Arati. All the MPs, members of parliament, should be present for Mangal Arati. All the members of parliament should be initiated devotees. And Prabhupada prepared this manifesto to be presented to the then Prime Minister of India. Because he knew that when there is saintly rule, then Mother Earth is not burdened. When Mother Earth is not burdened, she provides all the necessities in the way they should be provided, not the way they are provided today. Mother Earth is tortured today. And because she's tortured today, what she provides does not nourish our bodies, does not nourish our minds, nor does it nourish our hearts and our souls. It only nourishes and fosters newer and newer diseases, carcinogenic diseases, because all the chemicals, the pesticides, the fertilizers. But when Krishna glances upon Mother Earth and Krishna touches his lotus feet to Mother Earth, then what Mother Earth provides doesn't just nourish the body, but nourishes the very soul, core of our hearts, our souls. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada knew that to present this to the rulers and the administrators of this world is very important, because then the Mother Earth would not be burdened. Srila Prabhupada, devotees arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada in Chandigarh. And Mr. Sethi, who was a very diehard follower of Srila Prabhupada, he was a Punjabi man. And Punjabis are strong men. You know, they can really fight it out for things. In fact, when Mr. Sethi was there in Juhu, Bombay, with Srila Prabhupada, Mr. Sethi would go around in the morning carrying a gun because the neighbors were not allowing the devotees to take water. So he would go around with a gun and threaten, allow them water or see what is in my hand. Punjabi man. Very Kshatriya spirited man, you know. So Mr. Sethi was also there in Chandigarh. And a lot of ministers and dignitaries had come. Prabhupada was sitting on stage and all the ministers were there. Mr. Sethi was sitting. And one of the ministers, as Prabhupada was talking, was constantly looking at his watch. And at a point of time, he kind of hinted to Prabhupada, "Swamiji, I have to go." And as he was leaving the stage, Sethiji was sitting right next to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada whispered in Mr. Sethi's ears, "He is absolutely drunk. And probably he wants more. So he is leaving now." Mr. Sethi, I mean, he had faith in Prabhupada, but he was kind of a little, you know, what's Prabhupada saying? How does he know? He's sitting so far and how can Prabhupada say like this? And then Mr. Sethi escorted this minister to the car. And while escorting the minister to the car, Mr. Sethi smelt alcohol from the breath of this man. And Mr. Sethi said, "Jai Srila Prabhupada." He can detect the smell of alcohol from several feet away. And then after the whole program was over, the chief minister of Punjab came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And then he said, "Swamiji, can I have a copy of your Bhagavad Gita as it is?" Most times, Prabhupada would have to give the Gita from his side. But this Sikh gentleman, then Chief Minister of Punjab, asked, "Swamiji, can I have a copy of your Bhagavad Gita as it is?" And Srila Prabhupada gave him the copy of Bhagavad Gita. And then he left. Mr. Sethi came back in and said, "Prabhupada, this man, the Chief Minister of Punjab, he respects you so much and he respects the Gita so much that as he left your room, he was holding the Bhagavad Gita constantly on his head, on his turban of course, on his turban as he was reaching his car." Srila Prabhupada said, "Because he has the highest respect for the Gita, I'm predicting that he will get the highest respect in this country, India." Srila Prabhupada said that. "Because he has the highest respect for the Gita, he will get the highest respect in this country." The Chief Minister of Punjab later on went on to become the 7th President of India, Gyani Jail Singh, you know. And Sethiji got so much faith in Srila Prabhupada because from that one Chandigarh program, that minister who was drunk and what he spoke about Gyani Jail Singh came out to be true. And many times Mr. Sethi would recall and say, "By the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, Gyani Jail Singh could reach up to such a high position in the country and was very much respected." And therefore Srila Prabhupada would always want to meet these administrative heads because he knew that when they are taken care of properly and they have the proper principles in place, then Mother Earth will not be burdened. So Mother Earth being burdened by the sins of all of these sinful rulers was so much in agony, he took the form of a cow, a gentle, humble cow, and approached Lord Brahma to find a solution for her problems. What did Lord Brahma do? Lord Brahma, four-headed personality, you know, and all his four heads are full. Not full with trash, full with knowledge. Nowadays, one head, what is there in the head is a big question mark. You know, they say that the brain has two parts, left part and right part, left brain, right brain. Sometimes in the left part of the brain, nothing is right. And in the right part of the brain, nothing is left. That is the condition. In the left part of the brain, nothing is right. In the right part of the brain, nothing is left. For Brahma, in his four heads, with his four brains, in the right part, a lot was left. And in the left part, everything was right. Because in the four heads, he had the knowledge of the four Vedas. The Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Atharva Veda, the Sama Veda. Lord Brahma, complete knowledge of the four Vedas. Not just knowledge. Lord Brahma has knowledge. Lord Brahma has skill. He created the universe as a secondary creator. Imagine having full knowledge and having skill. What a deadly combination. You know, knowledge of the Vedas, ability and skill to create. Not just that, unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. Intelligent, skillful, devotional. What a powerful personality, Lord Brahma, you know. And the problem of this world is, when anyone approaches us with a problem, or we have a problem, we want to immediately sort the problem out. We think I can sort it out. You know why we love to solve problems? Ourselves for ourselves or to help others? Because then it makes us feel that I am in control. And because I am in control, then I am like God. Everyone in this world has come to this world. The soul comes to this world to play God. We are all here to play God. Because we want to be in control. We want the mode of achievement. Why we want to achieve? We want to achieve because we want to play God. Why we want to control? Because we want to play God. Why we want to solve problems? Because we want to play God. Everyone wants to feel that I can do it. That's simply because, independent of Krishna, I want to try and be Krishna. Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki. And therefore, if I cannot solve a problem, it is taken as a great defeat. It is a great defeat to the false ego that I couldn't do it. I couldn't achieve it. So many people go in the mode of depression because I couldn't achieve it. You know, even devotees in Krishna consciousness, guides, as guides, when I can't help someone solve a problem, think that this is my defeat. I wasn't able to guide this devotee solve his or her problem. It is not a defeat. There is an inherent bug in every system in this world. An inherent fault in every system in this world. And the fault is, we are not perfect. There is only one perfect person. Krishna. There is only one person who never fails. Krishna. In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says there is only one person who never fails. And that is Krishna. Therefore, even we shouldn't have undue expectations of others in this world. No one in this world, we cannot have undue expectations. Even in the devotee circles, because we have undue expectations, we are disappointed. We paint a rosy picture about superiors, and when they do not keep up to our expectations, we are disappointed. But we have to know that in this world, everyone has an inherent limitation in trying to solve problems. There's only one person who can solve problems completely. Krishna. I studied electrical engineering. And you cannot imagine what a pleasure it would be to solve mathematical problems. And they were tough, difficult ones. Sometimes I would sit late in the night. It would take 1.5-2 hours to decode a problem. One of the specializations that I studied was robotics and automation. And in robotics and automation, to solve this matrices, you know, if anyone has any engineering background, to make one little moment of the little thing of the robo takes hours of programming and decoding. And to do it all, it was great trouble. Too much anxiety. Sometimes late night sitting and trying to decode these things. And at 2-2:30 when you do it, man, I got it. You know, such a sense of achievement, you know. Lord Brahma, intelligent, skillful, devotional, humble. That is a deadly combination. Intelligence, skill is easy. Devotion is harder. With all these three, humility, hardest. The hardest combination. It is a deadly combination, you know. And such devotees who have that intelligence, who have that devotion, who have that skill, but have that humility, create such a powerful impact. Srila Prabhupada, sharp-witted, tremendously in knowledge of the material world and of the spiritual subject matters. Extremely skillful. He said, nobody can cheat me because I am a Calcutta businessman, he said. Who can cheat me, he said, you know. Extremely skillful. In fact, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj recalls that one very popular businessman in Bombay, after Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj and some other devotees went to this very, very big businessman and said, Swamiji has left this world. So you please tell us how to manage our society now. He said, why have you come to me? You should have seen your Swamiji. He was running an international society globally. He said, I never saw him with a pen, pencil or a paper, and he was managing an international society. What a skillful personality. Knowledgeable, skillful and devotion. Oh, where is any comparison? What can we speak about Srila Prabhupada's devotion? And humility? My God. Any of the lectures of the disappearance or appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's humility, always, but those recordings in those classes, Prabhupada's humility would just pour forth. As he would always, time and again, say, I am simply a postal peon. Only a postal peon on behalf of my spiritual master. And he would say, you American boys and girls are sent by my Guru Maharaj to assist him in the mission. And he would start crying. That is a deadly combination. Rest is history. The kind of impact that this combination does on the world is history. It wasn't just skill. It wasn't just intelligence. It wasn't just devotion. It wasn't just humility. Combination of all of these creating such a powerful impact. But Lord Brahma has tremendous humility to say, sorry, Bhudevi, I can't help you. It needs great humility to say, I can't help, you know, and to take to someone who can. Because when one has the intelligence and someone comes to us, imagine a successful lawyer and you go to a successful lawyer or successful doctor and he refers to another doctor, impossible. If there's a big doctor with a big name, you go to him and he doesn't know how to solve the problem, still he'll guess, still he'll speculate, still he'll make go around. Why? He cannot take that, I have to tell him, go to someone else. Lord Brahma had that humility, you know. Go to someone else. When Dhruva Maharaj came to Mother Suniti for a solution, Suniti was very honest. She said, son, I can't help. But I can tell you, if you go to Krishna, Krishna can help. In America, there was an Afro-American boy, amazing boy. He was so much interested in the Eastern way of life, in yoga. He went to a yoga teacher. And to the yoga teacher, he started asking deeper questions. The yoga teacher said, sorry, I cannot answer these questions. I have no solutions to your problems. There's one person who can. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And this yoga teacher sent this Afro-American person to Srila Prabhupada. And this person later went to be His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. You know, it's very important to know that we have limitations in trying to help others. So therefore Lord Brahma decided, I can't help, so we should seek help. Who can give help? One person can give help. The Supreme Lord Krishna, He can help us. So Lord Brahma therefore decided to go to Shweta Dweep, the milk ocean, you know, and appease the Lord by His prayers and call for the help of the Lord. Why did He have to go to Shweta Dweep? He could have sat in Brahmaloka and meditated, no? He could have just meditated in Brahmaloka on the lotus flower and said, my dear Lord, there is a problem. You know, Bhudevi is burdened by all the sinful kings. Please appear. He didn't do that. He personally, along with Mother Earth, as a cow, went to Shweta Dweep. Why? Why did he have to go? The Acharyas have explained. Lord Brahma wanted to teach all of us that it is not easy to access the Supreme Lord everywhere. The Lord is everywhere, but if Brahma cannot access the Lord everywhere, what to speak of anyone else? Moisture is everywhere, water is everywhere, but if I feel thirsty, I don't stick my tongue out drinking water. Although moisture is everywhere, I access that moisture or that water through a tap. Similarly, although Krishna is everywhere, Brahma decided to access Krishna at Shweta Dweep. Television signals and frequency modulated signals, FM signals are everywhere. But I am not able to hear any FM program now. Can I access the FM programs that are going on now? No. Those FM signals that are everywhere become accessible to me through our FM radio receiver. And therefore Lord Brahma wanted to show. An advanced person like Brahma wanted to show. Yes, Krishna is everywhere. Even in Brahma Loka. But even Brahma in Brahma Loka has to go to Shweta Dweep where the Lord is present. And so also, temples are like Shweta Dweep. Sometimes people say, God is everywhere. Why should I go to the temple? If Brahma has to go to Shweta Dweep, I could at least go to the temple. Bhaktivedanta manner, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada was asked by someone, Swamiji, if Krishna is everywhere, why do you need a temple? Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is everywhere, so he is in the temple also. So you come to the temple also. Temple also comes in everywhere. Since God is everywhere, temple is a part of everywhere, so please come to the temple also. And people would be challenging Srila Prabhupada again and again about why temple, why temple? Once a gentleman came and asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, there are so many temples in India, why do you need your own temple? So that man was sitting with a lady. So Srila Prabhupada asked him, so who is she? So said, Swamiji, she is my wife. So then he said, there are so many ladies in the world, why do you need this one? Why do you need your own wife? Then he turned to a child. He said, who is this? He said, he is my child. There are so many children playing around the world. Why do you need your own child? He said, no Swamiji, but this is my family. This is my wife. This is my child. So Prabhupada said, this is also our temple. Yes. Just like there are so many ladies, but you need your own lady, wife. There are so many children, but you need your own child. Prabhupada said, similarly, there are so many temples. But we also have our own temple because it's our personal service to Lord Krishna. So Lord Brahma, although he had the ability to sit there, meditate and access Krishna's presence in Brahmaloka, he was advanced enough. But to teach us that we are not as advanced, we cannot access Krishna anywhere and everywhere. Therefore we need facilities like a temple. What a beautiful temple, new Gokul. Prabhupada brought Gokul to new Gokul. Incredible. He brought Jagannath Puri to new Jagannath Puri. Vrindavan, new Vrindavan. Dwarka, new Dwarka. Added the word new and brought the same power, the same facility. Yesterday one devotee was saying, in South Hall there is a deity of Radha Krishna called Radha South Halleshwar. Yeah? After the class, there's this one devotee whose name is Mahaprasad Prabhu. You may know him. Some of you may know him. Mahaprasad Prabhu came up and he was telling me yesterday. He gave me his card. He was David Hume. David Hume. So he was saying, he said, you know, there is a deity called Radha South Halleshwar. Prabhupada was amazing. Radha South Halleshwar, Londoneshwar, Pariseshwar, Bahraineshwar. In Bahrain, there is Radha Bahraineshwar. That is a Mughal country. All people of the Islamic faith. You know. Prabhupada's legacy, amazing. We are not qualified to access Krishna everywhere. If we are at our homes and just continue living at our homes, eventually we'll realize that we don't have the ability to practice Krishna consciousness easily. Therefore, Prabhupada created temples. He made communities. This whole Bhaktivedanta manner is a manifestation of Krishna Leela from the Bhagavatam. New Gokul is a manifestation from the 10th canto. He created a Shweta Dweep, you know, where Radha Gokulananda could come and live. So like Brahma went when Mother Earth had problems, to the Lord in the ocean of milk, we could run to the Bhaktivedanta manner to seek shelter of Shishi Radha Gokulananda. Of course, Lord Brahma offered his prayers and in his heart he got the message. You know, he got the message that I shall soon appear. I order all the demigods to go to planet Earth and make the planet ready for my appearance. So as this order Brahma received, Brahma communicated the message as it is. He was very much as it is, absolutely as it is, as he received the message. All the demigods should appear. He communicated to all the demigods and told Mother Earth, don't worry, all of you should appear. That's the Lord's message. And you know something? That is why he was bewildered. Brahma was bewildered. He's such a great devotee. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, he was bewildered. He couldn't understand, this is Krishna. Krishna is a supreme lord. He thought he was a little boy. Why was he bewildered? Because he delegated a service that was given to him. Service is a great privilege. And when that service comes to us, it is a great honor for us to render that service. When the Lord and the Guru wants us to do that service, and out of whatever reason, we delegate that service to others to be done, although it's a service that I am meant to do, then bewilderment is certain. The material energy will bewilder us because it is service that is our shelter. And we cannot delegate that service. Yashoda Mai, all the cow, the maid servants in the house of Nanda, they were churning the butter for Krishna. But Yashoda on the day of Diwali thought, I will take that service and do it for Krishna. You know? And therefore, delegation is important. Delegation is important in management. At the same time, there are certain services that the spiritual master wants us to do. Srila Prabhupada delegated the management and taught the devotees how to preach, but till his final breath he continued to follow his guru's order. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada told Srila Prabhupada, preach in the English language in the Western world. 1965 till 1977, till his final breath, and His Grace Tattvavit Prabhu was reminding the other day, I said it was the 14th chapter. That was last chapter by Prabhupada. It was the 13th chapter actually. 13th chapter was in our last purports of Srila Prabhupada. Final breath. Trying to follow the service given by the spiritual master. Then there is no bewilderment. When service is taken as a personal responsibility, bewilderment by Maya doesn't happen. When I think this is not mine and let everyone else do it, then there is certain that the material energy will take over and bewilder our minds. And therefore we find here Lord Brahma gets bewildered later because he sends everyone else and says, you all go. But he doesn't take it upon himself that I also have to go and prepare for the appearance of Lord Krishna. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, it is the day of wedding of Devaki and Vasudev. Oh God, it is a great day. In great pomp, the celebration is on. And as the celebration is on, we find Devaki and Vasudev on the chariot and Kamsa holding the reins of the chariot, driving Devaki to her husband's house in Mathura. And as this is happening, suddenly there is an Akashvani. An aerial voice speaks. And the aerial voice says, you fool Kamsa, don't you realize this simple thing? That the eighth son of your own sister Devaki will be the cause of death for you. And as soon as he hears this, shifts. All the affection turns into anger and hatred. You know. And there's a powerful lesson from there. The lesson is, Kamsa represents false ego. You know. What does the false ego do to us? False ego gives us an identity. That I am something. And so long as someone pampers that identity, he or she is my friend. As soon as someone threatens that identity, he or she is my enemy. We divide the world into friends and enemies based on this Kamsa called the false ego. You know, anyone who pampers my false ego, friend, Prabhu, you're amazing. You're such a pure devotee. You're amazing. You're so pure. That actually you should be the next Acharya. You know. Your classes, Prabhu. Oh. I feel so inspired. I was weeping in ecstasy in the class. Prabhuji, your kirtan. Romanchakampa. I had hair standing on that. Shrutaranga bhajo. Ecstatic. And how you dress the deities. Oh my God. Prabhu, you can actually bring out the beauty of the deities. You know, you're amazing. You know, it's incredible. Anyone says, oh, yes, more. That becomes my friend circle. Who are the people who hang around with me? The yes men. The ones who pamper my false ego. You know. And who are the persons whom I despise and cannot have them anywhere around? Those who give me a critical feedback, which threatens my identity and my false ego. Prabhu, you're not a pure devotee. You're a poor devotee. Very poor. You're not pure. You're poor. You know. And I think this wasn't right there. I think in your class, you shouldn't be saying this. You shouldn't be doing that. In your kirtan, what tunes are you leading? Huh? What is this cinema melodies that you're singing? You're bringing all these Bollywood melodies from Bombay and you're chanting all these Bollywood melodies and Hare Krishna and these Bollywood melodies. Oh, this person? From a distance. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. You be happy, I'll be happy. From a distance. We divide the world in friends and enemies based on the false ego. Come, sir. So long as Devaki was pampering him, my lovely brother, you are my this, you are my that. Oh, Kamsa was good. And as soon as he heard that the eighth child of Devaki would be a threat to him, finished. Therefore, when we have this false identity or false ego, we will always be disturbed. The cause of disturbance is a false identity, nothing else. There is only one cause for mental disturbance. A false identity that I am something. I am something. As soon as I am something, there is someone to destroy that something. You know? But a devotee who takes to the identity that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. I am not the boss. He is the boss. So anyone threatens his supremacy, then we are angry. When I think I am the boss, anyone threatens my supremacy, I am angry. But when I transfer that identity and I am not the boss, he is the boss, anyone threatens his supremacy, I can't stand it. Hanuman can't stand that Ravan is threatening Ram's supremacy, he sets the Lanka on fire. Srila Prabhupada could not stand. Anytime anyone said to Srila Prabhupada something on a personal note, he didn't care. He didn't bother because there was no false ego. There was no division of the world into friends and enemies based on one pampers me and someone else insults me. But if someone insulted Krishna, oh, Srila Prabhupada would get so annoyed, so angry on his toes and on his hands to simply completely demolish that person, you know. And therefore, Kamsa teaches us this lesson that as soon as this Devaki's eighth son is there as a threat to him, she becomes an enemy. Till then she was a loving sister. So the world is divided into friends and enemies based on the false ego. He imprisons Vasudev and Devaki, of course. And as Vasudev and Devaki are imprisoned, we know the story of how the first six sons that are born are killed by Kamsa. And the first six sons, of course, represent the six anarthas in the heart, as Srila Prabhupada explains. And only when the six anarthas in the heart are destroyed, then the appearance of Krishna Janmashtami becomes possible. The seventh son that comes is transferred from the womb of Rohini to the womb of Devaki. And he is born as Balaram or Sankarshan. Why Balaram? Because Balaram prepares the heart, womb of Devaki, for Krishna to appear. And therefore, by the grace of Guru, the heart is prepared. Balaram is Guru Tattva. The heart is prepared for Krishna to appear. And we want Krishna to appear in our hearts. That is Janmashtami. You know. But Guru prepares us. The Acharyas prepare us, who are the Balaram Tattva. Therefore, Balaramji appears first. Even in any nation in India, Bombay President Barack Obama was to come. And of course, he's a big man. Undoubtedly, on planet Earth, is the president of one of the greatest countries of the world. You know, the United States of America. So when Barack Obama came to Bombay, my God, you cannot imagine the extent of preparation that went in for his arrival. He was to come very close to our temple. And the whole city was prepared. Cleaning, decorating, everywhere welcome signs. And if Barack Obama needs preparation, Krishna is the president of the whole creation. When he comes, preparation is needed for him to come. The place has to be prepared. And who prepares? None less than Lord Balaram. Therefore, Balaramji, of course, appears. And then the auspicious moment of the appearance of Krishna arrives. And there is a beautiful description of the appearance of the particular moment of Krishna's arrival in this world. What happens is Krishna is just about to appear on the Ashtami, Janmashtami, midnight. Suddenly, just before this verse, there is a description of how all the Gandharvas, they start singing. Because that's their ability to sing. The Apsaras and the Vidyadharis, they start dancing. Because that's their ability to dance. And in this verse we find all the demigods, they start showering flowers. Flowers are called Sumana. Suman means flowers. So the Gandharvas singing, Apsaras dancing, the Devas are showering fragrant flowers. Suddenly the Munayaha, the Munis or the sages, they start thinking, wait a minute, Gandharvas, they have a sweet voice. I don't have a sweet voice, the sages start. The Vidyadharis and the Apsaras, they can dance. We can't dance. The demigods have flowers. We don't even have flowers. What shall we offer? So they thought, let us offer a pure minds. Suman means flower. And Suman also means pure mind. Man is mind. Suman means a pure mind. So whereas the Devas offered Suman flowers, the sages offered Suman, the pure mind. And then the clouds. Jaladhara means the clouds. They were thinking, we don't have a voice, we can't dance, we don't have flowers, we don't even have a mind, what to speak of a pure mind. What should we offer? They thought, let us start rumbling. So they started making thunder. Huge sound of thunder. Just as the time that Krishna was about to appear to offer their service to Krishna, the Supreme Lord is about to appear, they started thundering loudly. Suddenly the clouds realized something. They realized that they were thundering so loudly that they were interrupting the service that is rendered by another devotee to Krishna at his appearance. Gandharas were singing, but they were soft singers. Because they were soft singers, Krishna wouldn't be able to hear their singing in the loud rumbling and the thundering of the clouds. The clouds, with great sensitivity, realized their mistake. We don't want to stop anyone's service. We want Krishna to relish that service. Therefore, Shukdeva Goswami explains, mandam, mandam, they reduced their volume. Mandam, mandam, they became very soft. Why they became soft? Because everyone's service should be accepted by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. My service should not cause any hindrance to anyone else's service. Krishna Janmashtami brings in an incredible mood of cooperation and sensitivity, where every single devotee with different talents, someone can dance, someone can sing, someone can rumble, someone has flowers, someone has a pure mind. Everyone comes together. And with the respective talents that they have, with sensitivity to each other, everyone cooperates to celebrate the appearance of Lord Krishna. And Krishna appears in this world at that point of time, you know. And that is how Lord Krishna appears in this world on the 8th day, you know, Janmashtami, in this very festive mood created by the cooperation. It's not the flags and festoons that makes the festival. It's not the flags and festivals. It's not all the grand arrangements. All that is fantastic. What makes Krishna Janmashtami, is how we all come together to celebrate the appearance of Krishna. And when we do that, every person who comes for that festival feels uplifted because Krishna is there. That is where Krishna is there. And Bhaktivedanta Manor has been such an amazing example of this, what has been mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where so many devotees from different walks come together and render incredible services, volunteer to render incredible services with their respective talents. Someone does drama, someone's cooking, someone's cleaning, someone's doing the deity worship, someone's leading kirtan, and with that whole thing, Krishna appears in the midst of such a sangha. And then anyone who comes for such a festival feels extremely uplifted and inspired. So of course tomorrow His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj will take us through the whole story of the appearance of Lord Krishna. But I thought just to set a scene and prepare ourselves for the coming of Lord Krishna, we would discuss a few of these verses from the third chapter of the 10th canto to prepare our consciousness for the arrival of Lord Krishna tomorrow. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.